So, reasons that people don't do a cash flow plan. Why is it people don't do this? It seems so obvious when you think about it. I wasn't doing one and I had a finance degree. Why wasn't I doing a budget? Well, one reason was it had a bread and water connotation. I didn't want to do a budget because it felt like a straitjacket, right? It felt like bread and water. I'm going to be on bread and water if I'm on a budget. Budget means lack. Budget means we don't get to do anything. It's not any of that. A budget is simply a plan. You're just going to tell your money what to do. You get to tell it what to do. You can tell it bread and water. You can tell it filet mignon. You get to tell it what to do. Now, if you're broke and trying to get out of debt, we might tell it tuna fish. We might tell it beans and rice, right? Tuna fish is broke people food. That's what Sharon used to make me when we were broke, tuna fish sandwiches. I can't stand tuna fish now because when I smell tuna fish, I feel broke. My net worth goes down if someone near me eats tuna fish. Ramen noodles, you know, the same smell. You remember that? Ugh. Man, it makes you feel broke. It reminds you of bean bags and concrete block bookshelves in college, right? This is the thing. You've got to step back and say, the budget is me telling my money what to do, and you decide how far you're going to cut lifestyle to be able to be intense and hit these baby step goals. But you get to decide. And if you're married, you decide together as a team, the nerd and the free spirit working together like we've taught you. You've got to do that stuff. The second thing, reason people hate to do a budget is, a budget has been used to abuse you. Your parents always said, it's not in the budget. Or now you're married and you're married to one of these nerds that might be a control freak nerd, not just a detail person, but they use the budget. I did the budget and it's not in the budget and so you can't do it. And they use the budget to control you. In which case you don't want to enter into a budget discussion. And I don't blame you. And so what you've got to do if that's going on, that's not a budget problem. That's a control freak spouse problem. And so you have to deal with that relationship thing that's going on there and go, whoa, my vote counts. Just because you did the detail doesn't mean you win. My free spirits get to vote too, right? We get to work in the budget together and we do this, but it's not going to be me telling Sharon what to do and using the budget as a club to put her in the corner in submission. People try that. It's been done, believe me. Might have happened in here looking at the way some of you are looking at your spouses. I won't point at anybody, right? Another reason we don't want to do a budget is we never had a budget that really worked. I tried it once and it didn't work. Well, I got bad news for you. I told you earlier, you're not any good at it. It's going to take 90 days. Say 90 days.
90 days.
3 months of working on it before you learn to ride a bike, before you learn to snow ski, before you learn to drive the car, before you do the budget. You're not going to be competent the first time you sit behind the wheel. It's going to take a little time, a little trial and error, a little adjustment, a little working together for those of you that are married in the relationship. All those kinds of things have to work together. Another reason we don't want to do a budget is paralysis from fear of what we will find. I'm afraid to look in there. It's going to be bad. The trick is it may be bad, but it's probably not as bad as you've built it up in your emotions. It's kind of like that monster in the closet when you're 4 years old and trying to go to sleep. It's probably not as bad as you thought. It's probably going to open up some things. And when you get in there, you're going to discover some things that are pretty cool. One thing you're going to discover is that you've been messing up some things and you get to choose to not do that anymore. It's very empowering in that sense. You know, you're looking at this, looking at your financial self in the mirror and you're going, ooh, you need to comb the hair. This is bad. Now, that's not an issue with me, but so you've got to make a decision on how you're going to attack this. And when you do, that paralysis from fear will push you back and keep you away from it. I was sitting one night in Financial Peace University small group discussion with this guy and his wife, and she was really sophisticated and he was a great guy. He was a very, very smart guy, but pretty much a country boy, you know? And he was telling the group, he says, yeah, we did that budget. We added it up. We were spending $1,200 a month going to restaurants. $1,200 a month in restaurants? Yeah. Figured out why I didn't have a retirement plan, been eating it. It's You will discover some stuff just like that, right? We all mess up. Give yourself some grace. When you do discover some of the things you've done wrong, welcome to the human race. No one gets through this without messing up. If you've made mistakes with money, that makes you over 12. Human. Everyone has made mistakes with money. Everyone has. Now, cash flow plans don't work if you do these things. Number one, if you leave things out. Now, that will be your first and most obvious mistake that happens the first 2 months that you do this. There's things that you're doing that you don't even realize when you sit down to do this. Now, our checklist, our budget forms are going to help remind you of some of these things, but you're going to forget the kids' field trip. You're going to forget the soccer pictures. You're going to forget about this or that. And then I forgot I got that baby shower and I got to buy a gift for that, you know, that kind of stuff, right? It's going to come in and you leave things out and it'll mess up your budget. Don't give up. Just next time you'll remember better. And you just keep adjusting, keep course correcting. You're going to be better at riding the bike after you've ridden it a while. The second thing that messes people up is they overcomplicate their plan. I love for you to do, especially your first several months, in handwritten form on the budget forms instead of using software. I love for you to do that because it makes the software person communicate in the house with the non-software person. I'm pretty good at software, but Sharon looking over my shoulder at a spreadsheet isn't the same as us sitting at the kitchen table poring over the numbers. We're feeling the numbers then. So I love for you to write it out. Now, some of you are going to be bent. You're going to do software. That's fine. You do whatever you want to do. I'm just warning you, you need to learn to feel money, and you need to think about the relationship when you're married. That's more important than whether the columns add up right automatically. And so really don't overcomplicate things. Now, I'm the nerd at my house. I've told you guys that. And so I'm the guy who, when in doubt, I overcomplicate it. I will figure out a way to create some tangled up thing just because I can, you know? And that will keep your budget from working. Keep it very primitive, very simple, very clean, so that all the parties involved, both spouses, will participate and will understand it and will agree and can stick to it. That's huge. Another reason a budget doesn't work is if people don't actually do them. You have to do the budget. You have to do the written plan. There's no way out of it. And I told you the first night, and I'm going to tell you over and over and over again, all of our analysis of all the successful stories we've got, millions of families going through Financial Peace University, the number one thing we keep finding out over and over and over again, the closest statistical correlation to success going through this program are those that actively engage in this budgeting process. And for those that are married, they're doing it together. They do their budget, they bring it to class, they check it with their coordinator, they're learning how to do something they've never done before. They're happening to their money on paper. You've got to actually do it. And then once you're doing it, you actually have to live on the budget. A lot of people fill the thing out like it's a freaking theory. It's not a theory. This is your plan. This is your contract. You are laying it down. It's the out-of-bounds marker. Did you put your foot on the out-of-bounds marker? The slow-mo show that the pass is incomplete because the foot was out of bounds. That's what you're looking for. You got to figure out, is this our life? And once you say, this is what we're going to spend on clothing, we're not going to spend any more than that on clothing unless we come back together and change the budget. You actually use this as your operating document. It's not theory. And you go, oh, well, it would be nice. Yeah, we'd all balanced on paper, but we just went over here and did whatever we wanted to do. Doesn't work that way. Now, reasons we should do a cash flow plan, pretty simple. A written plan removes the management by crisis from your finances. A certain percentage, somewhere between 10 and 20% of the people in any given Financial Peace University class are the people that are crisis right now. They're in crisis. They're behind on their bills. They're struggling. And if you're that person and you're listening to me or you're watching this video or you're in here with us live and you're in crisis, the first thing you've got to learn to do is the first thing that happens with money is you take care of what we call the four walls, the necessities of life. The four walls are food, shelter, clothing, transportation, and utilities. We're going to take care of the basics first, no matter what. Take the basics first, because the Bible says take care of your own household first, or you're worse than an unbeliever. We start with food, shelter, clothing, transportation, and utilities. I can't tell you how many times people have come in for counseling over the years, and they're current on their MasterCard, and they're behind on their house. They're current on their Discover card, and their electricity is about to be cut off. See, that's wrong priorities. You take care of your family first, then you get current.
Well, I might mess up my credit.
Who cares if your credit is messed up, if your kids are eating? You take care of your family first, and then you move to the other. And if you're really deep into that, go online and watch the Credit Sharks and Suits lesson from Financial Peace University. See that, and that tells you how to deal with collectors and how to set up plans where you're really deep in a crisis situation. You want to dig in and watch that and learn that whole thing. This crisis thing's a big deal. When we were going through going broke and losing everything, we used to do our budget and we'd take care of food first, utility second, shelter third, transportation fourth, and basic clothing, if there was any clothing that needed to be purchased last. Then we would work on other stuff. And we would go all the way down that list until the money ran out. And where the money ran out, we would draw a line. And whoever was below the line, we wanted to pay them, but we didn't have the money. So you go as far down the list if you're in crisis as you can go, and then you draw a line. And you decide on purpose, on paper, who's going to be mad. Who are we not going to pay? I was doing that, and I had one of these collectors call up from the credit card company screaming at the top of his lungs. He thought that would work. Little did he know he wasn't the first one that had tried it. It became a hobby to understand how these guys operate as we were going broke, because they were hammering us day in and day out, multiple calls a day, all times of the day and night. It was unbelievable. And he's just screaming and literally cussing, calling my mother names and all this stuff. I mean, he's just going bananas on me. And finally, he took a breath and I just said, dude, I would really like to pay you. And he got real quiet. And I said, but I can't because you're below the line. And he said, do what? And I said, well, every month we do our bills and we go down the bills and as far as we can go with the money we have, and then we draw a line and everybody below the line doesn't get paid and you're below the line. He said, you're kidding. I said, do I sound like I'm kidding? You're below the line, you don't get paid. Long pause. How do I get above the line? You're nicer next time you call. Right? Try some manners, son. It'll go a long way. And here's the thing. Managed money works harder. Managed money feels like you're getting a raise. When you start doing this written plan and you make these dollars behave, you wouldn't believe the number of times I get a phone call, an email, a letter. I meet someone on the street. Dave, I finally did that budget. I got a master's degree in finance. I had never done a written budget for our household. My wife and I are in agreement on this. We feel like we got a raise. I hear that all the time. Because there's all this wasted money and wasted energy in disorganization. When you make these dollars behave, when they have to single file do what they're supposed to do, you get that whip in that chair, and you're whipping them into shape, you're going to get this sense of power over your money that you've never, ever had. This lesson is the one that does that. It's not the theory of getting out of debt. It's not that whole thing of the debt snowball. It's not learning to work with your spouse. Those things all work together. But it comes to a point here in this lesson, when you make this money behave, you'll have this sense of power and this sense of getting a raise that you've never had before. A written plan, if actually lived on and agreed to, will remove many of the money fights from your marriage. We're teaching you several things in here that affects your marriage, big time. And this is probably the biggest one. When I first started teaching this stuff, I thought, hey, I'm teaching people about insurance and retirement plans and how to do a budget and how to get out of debt. And I had people come up to me after I was teaching it, and they said, Dave, this class saved our marriage. And I'm like, dude, the sex class was down the hall. What do you mean this class saved your marriage? Dave, we had a good marriage. It made it great. Dave, we were about divorced, and we've been to 3 marriage counselors and couldn't fix it. And we started doing a budget together, and it made us work out our stuff, and it saved our marriage. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It was this huge byproduct, unexpected to me, but nowadays, 20 years later, very expected for this to impact your marriage. It forces you to work together. Now, a written cash flow plan will remove the money fights from your marriage. Not completely. At first, it's going to cause some. So be nice to each other. You nerds, be nice to your free spirits. You free spirits, be nice to your nerds. You sit down and you talk and you work through this gently and have a, you know, it's not a whip and a chair on the spouse. It's a whip and a chair on the money. Okay? We're going to learn to work together and cooperate and communicate. 97% of the women when surveyed say they would like more communication. Wow. Here's a great opportunity for some quality communication about almost everything that's going on in your life, because money touches almost everything in your life. This is huge. It'll remove a lot of the guilt, the shame, the fear that could be part of buying basic necessities. How many people buy stuff like clothing and then that causes a fight? Anybody? Yeah. It does. I can't tell you how many times Sharon bought something over the years and I'd be like, now you're spending money. Well, I don't spend money like you spend money. And here we go, right? Because there wasn't a defined thing. But once we set out and said, this is how much we spend on clothing, then we were okay. Then she can spend that much on clothing no matter what, and she could buy one thing or 40 things or whatever, and there was no argument about it, and she didn't feel this tension while she was buying something. It was part of our plan that was pre-agreed to. And it was real nice for me because I actually started enjoying some of her purchase. I was like, hey, that's nice. She goes, you actually said I bought something that was nice. That's weird. Because it was always a fight before. There was always this tension in the air about whether she had messed something up or whether I had messed something up. And when I bought something, it's like I had to hide it or something from my own wife. That's silliness. That's silliness. It's because we are not communicating. We're not laying out a game plan by which we can both stick to. If you are doing a written plan, it'll show you where you're overspending on certain areas. Like, for instance, that guy I was talking about where they're overspending on restaurants. And they went, $1,200 is not okay for us to spend on restaurants. We're going to back that one down. A written plan will give you a sense of power and control over money that you've never had before. Empowerment is a word I hear a lot around the Financial Peace University course. I feel so empowered about this subject of money that has always dominated me. Now I am happening to it. Now I've got a sense of control over it. And this is what does that.